Okay, let's be good on the count of three.
No, just now. Just don't even wait for it. Don't wait for three.
It helps if I count down.
Don't.
In my head, then I'll count. I'm going to count down in my head.
You'll probably end up doing it aloud, I'm sure.
Two, one.
Yeah. Okay. Bosch season 6 on Amazon.
So let's try again.
No, that's the thing. That's it. That's what I'm watching. Do you know why I watch? Do you know why I watch Bosch? The TV show Bosch on Amazon. 6 seasons, longest running show on Amazon. Do you know why I watch it?
I don't know.
He has the exact same sunglasses as me.
Dun dun dun.
Hello and welcome to episode 486 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam.
Was that like a super long pause or was that
internet? I forgot who I was for a second. No, it was just a long pause.
Okay. Good. Yeah. Graduated 486 episodes for that gem.
Yeah. I remembered.
It's been a long month and a month. How long has it been? A month and a bit. We've done 4 episodes under this, right?
Yeah.
I think this is episode number 4 or 5, yeah. Maybe.
It's been a month for sure.
Yeah, but at least over a month. I don't know.
Yeah, mid March, and we're kind of toward, so like 5 weeks.
Yeah, I'd, something like that. I know it did happen before. It was before St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember thinking, like, being locked up at home, there's no way I'm going to get into a fist fight this St. Patrick's Day. What a worst St. Patrick's Day ever.
Yeah, what a letdown. Yeah. I do find, and I don't know, maybe you can tell me your experience as to whether or not this is the case, but it seems like time is going much faster. Like, the weeks are going quick. At the beginning, I felt like it was very slow, and now I feel like it's very fast. So, is that a good thing?
Yes and no. Yes, in that yes, and that, but then also no.
Okay.
Okay, hold on. Was that too fast for you? I'll slow it down.
That was slow very down, clear. Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way. The first week, because deep down, and by deep down, I mean way out in the front, and I spoke to my wife about it when we talked, like, they had no idea what or how long this lockdown would happen, or at least they weren't saying anything to the public. But if you just kind of paid attention to some countries like South Korea, for example, you could see. I figured we were in for at least 2 months. That was what I figured.
That's what I thought too. About 2 months.
Yeah, yeah. And so, but they weren't saying that. It was just kind of like, all right, like we'll shut down, you know. And we'll sort of, hey, we'll reassess by Wednesday, okay? You know, like that was kind of the thing. And, you know, boiling the frog, I guess, is what they're trying to do. And so when I told my wife, I was like, hey, we're like in week one. Like I was a little bit rattled for my kids because I was like, you know, my kids are pretty social, play a lot of sports and have friends and all that kind of stuff, unlike me, kind of a loser. But so I was like, you know, pretty bummed for them. And so I told my wife, I was like, you know, I was really rattled 3 days in when time was dragging, like you said, and so we're going to be in this for at least 2 months, and then after that, who knows, like, what's going to happen? Like, there's going to be some stuff, and she said, no way. Anyways, here we are. You know, it'll be 2 months minimum, and you are correct. I every time I go to check the photo challenge, I'm like, oh, it's Friday afternoon. I better shoot one.
Mm-hmm.
Like it just, I blink and the week disappears. So in some respect, I guess it's good. Like I'm filling my days. I don't know about you.
Yeah, we are too. That's what I'm saying is the days go by very quickly, but I think that's a lot of settling into routines. You know, everybody finds their own routine, and once you have it, the hours just kind of roll by.
Right. Right. So for me, it's gin and tonics in the coffee mug at 8 a.m.
Yep.
and then the rest of the day is a blur.
Mm-hmm. That and eating cheese on the couch.
Where else would you eat cheese? No, I actually spend a lot of time in my shop, you know, when I can, or outside or whatever. Like, a lot of my we have had phenomenal weather, like unbelievable. So much so that we should be playing baseball in it. That's how good it is. And right. like 25 plus degrees most days, and it's just outstanding. And so, you know, whatever kind of work I can do, painting or sanding or whatever, I do outside, which the neighbors love. But oh well, too bad for you guys. And so then the rest of the time in the shop. So, you know, the days have been going by, and then like get the kids' schoolwork, as I mentioned at the top of the show, that got cut. My kids actually they've been given sort of schedules, kind of.
Okay.
Like I think they're supposed to start school at like 8 a.m, like, but in their rooms here.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do their schoolwork. And then with my son, every half hour he works on his schoolwork, he's supposed to color in some little animal. And that's how the teacher knows how long they take.
Okay.
And so that's fine. He's usually done his entire school day in like 20 minutes or something, because he just wants to go play.
Gotcha.
And then my daughter called me in and said, "Dad, I need help. I need help with my math," and presented me Pascal's pyramid in grade 3. Grade 3.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, "Yeah, that's good. You're stepping into my wheelhouse right now." Like, I happen to, of all the nerd stuff that I do. And there's some nerdy stuff that I do.
Mm-hmm.
Pascal's pyramid is one of my favorite math-isms. So that was a nice little father-daughter day today.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
I'm such a nerd, Adam, that I have finished every episode of Jeopardy on Netflix. And so now I'm hoping that they renew them.
Great.
Yeah. Love that show. Amazon. If you need pencils for your homeschooling, buy them on Amazon. Click through our site. Help us out.
Okay.
You buy anything lately?
Did we buy anything? I think I ordered something. My daughter's got a birthday upcoming, and I ordered something that should get here by her birthday, which is photography related, believe it or not. Like one of those little sort of fits in the palm of your hand. Mini printers for like photos that you could take on your cell phone.
Okay.
I didn't know this was really a thing. I didn't really know this was a thing, but then she specifically had this on her wish list, and I thought, oh, that's kind of cool. So basically there's a ton of them. Every big printer brand, HP, Canon, whoever, you know, insert all your printing companies have these little printers. I had to do a little bit of research to figure out which one that I was going to get her. And so, huge range of cost. And also, the biggest thing is that you buy this printer, and then, you know, you either got to buy ink for it,
right,
or you've got to buy ones that are inkless that use special paper. So, the refill costs on a lot of these could be pretty excessive. So, like, you remember the little mini camera that I got her that printed like the Polaroids, the Fuji one, the Fuji Instax, right. I think it was called.
Yeah.
And so she had that for a while, but the big barrier on that one was that the cost of the film is
a photo or something.
Yeah, something like that. It's a buck a photo. And so then there's your cost. So eventually, you know, for her, or for me, it becomes rather expensive. So that's the big thing. Fuji has one of these little printers as well. Same thing. Like, it's pretty much the same as the Instax. The cost of the paper is a buck a photo. Now, there's no ink, so it just heats up the paper, and therefore you only really have to buy refills of paper, and there's no ink supply. So that's kind of good, I guess. Anyways, okay. We ended up finding one that was HP, and it had good reviews. HP Sprocket, I think, is the one we ordered, and the
very the time we dance
very similar to the Fuji Instax, and good reviews and whatnot. But the cost of the paper refills are about, I want to say, under 50 cents a photo. So it seems like much better long-term if she's going to take these.
And that's no ink, the one you got.
No ink. So it just, again, special paper that heats up under this little printer and then spits out a photo. And they're all pretty much the same. Like the Fuji Instax, they're not like, I guess you can get ones that take bigger paper, but then the actual device is much bigger. But right. The ones are essentially, they're like, you know, I want to say either 2.5 by 3.5. There's something like small ones that, and a lot of the paper comes sticky back, so they can just peel them off and stick them on a wall or whatever, or not, or you can just leave the backing on. But
so what's the unit cost on this? Like what's the
I want to say they're roughly around $100. So that's so around $100 for the unit, and then yeah, for this particular,
how many does it hold in the cartridge?
I want to say 10 at a time.
Okay.
So and 10, 10.
What, like USB or something?
Yeah. And then just plugs into your cell phone. Like it comes with a little connection and plugs into your cell phone and then print anywhere on the go kind of is the idea.
Oh, I want that to be wireless Bluetooth. That should be Bluetooth.
It might be actually. Now that I come to think of it, I'm pretty sure
If it isn't Bluetooth. If there's like a big giant cable, that would be surprising.
Yeah. Now that you're saying that, I think they're all Bluetooth. But the like you say, charges with the USB.
I'm going to get a dot matrix version of that.
Okay.
Or just prints it out like War Games.
Great.
Okay. Nice tag on that.
And like all things kind of, again, geared towards, I'm guessing these are geared towards like, you know, younger people. I don't see this being something for me particularly, but that you can like do all kinds of little funny little edits for like, so it comes packaged with software for your phone. So that you can add little stickers or little flowers or little hearts or whatever to your photos when you print them out. So it is, it's geared towards, I'm not going to say this is geared towards the serious photographer. This is geared towards my daughter.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see. This could be fun at parties, I think.
Exactly. I say it's an instant photo booth and at a reasonable price point.
Right. And the idea being here is like you can choose the photos you want to print versus like with the Instax thing is cool, but what you see is what you get.
Right? True. Yeah. And you could even, you know, pull your photos from your library, whatever you want. But the other nice little feature that I saw when I was watching the videos, and I don't know that every company's software is probably going to be different, but the HP Sprocka one had this little photo booth like included app where it splits your little photo into 6 frames or 4 frames or whatever. And then you can just pull different photos. And I thought this would be perfect for the, you know, New Year's photo booth kind of idea where you're like, oh, okay, uh-huh. I make my own little like sheet that you could print out for each kid or for each adult or whoever. And you know, at 50 cents a pop, you got your little 4 photos or whatever. It sounds pretty fun.
I'm interested to see how this shakes out. Cause this could be something come Christmas time that one of my kids gets.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, well, I'm glad I brought it up. So
yeah. All right.
Yay.
Hey, Amazon. Yeah. So today I bought, I ended up buying a case of Lysol and 4 dozen syringes, but I ended up canceling that.
Okay. All right.
That was just a stupid purchase on my part.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, I long for simpler times, man.
Yeah, me too.
Like, do you remember back when Dan Quayle tried to spell potato with an E? That was fun. That was a fun time.
So that's what you're hoping to rewind the clock.
Remember when Franklin Roosevelt married his cousin? That was fun.
Yeah.
That was a fun thing to do.
You know what is kind of interesting and sort of bringing back some nostalgia is, I don't know if you're doing this, but I'm finding myself really longing for sports. So I miss sports a lot. So right. I've been reading sports books, so that's one thing. But I've also been on occasion perusing the sports channels, which here, I don't know about over there, are all showing, you know, kind of really memorable games, whether it's in hockey or baseball or basketball. And so I'm finding myself kind of watching some of these old memorable games, and I really enjoy it. I didn't think I would at first. I thought, oh, that's dumb. I can't watch this. And then I watched...
What's a game that you watched recently?
I watched Kobe Bryant score 81 points against the Raptors in 2000, and I want to say it was 6. I watched that the other day. Second most points all time scored in a single basketball game, other than Wilt Chamberlain's 100 points. And it was so fun watching it. Like, it was so fun. My kids watched a good portion of it. We were all mesmerized by it. And I never saw it live. I saw the highlights way back when, and the Raptors growing up in Toronto, and I had season tickets for the Raptors. This was a road game in LA, but I was a huge, huge fan of the Raptors. And so I knew every player on the roster back then. even though that's 14 years ago and they were terrible. But it was just, it was so fun and so nostalgic. And then I found myself watching old Blue Jays games, old memorable NHL Stanley Cup final games. And the games are so different. I guess it sort of shows how far, you know, athletics have come in that time, because it's the athletes are light years where they were 20 years ago even. But yeah, that Kobe Bryant 81-point game was something spectacular. And actually taking that last point back, I don't know that any basketball players have gotten better than he was on that night. That was amazing.
Yeah, you're right in general. I mean, guys why have they gotten so much better?
I think it's the training. That's the big thing.
Sure. I mean, the games change, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, what is the leading score? How many guys score 50 goals in the NHL in a regular season now?
A couple.
Like, it's rare, right?
Yeah. Well, Ovechkin usually gets it, and one or two other guys. Yeah. But yeah, it's rare. But it's also that the goalies have gotten better. The equipment's gotten bigger. There's so many variables. But the big difference...
sticks have gotten better.
The sticks have gotten better. So all the equipment has changed. But also... you know, defensive schemes have gotten better. Like, everyone's bigger and faster, and therefore there's less space on the ice. But I think that the expectations are different. Like, in the olden days, like, the NHL guys would finish a season, and this probably goes the same in all sports, and then they'd basically take 2 months.
Cars.
Yeah, or they take a month off and eat terrible and not work out. And then it was kind of expected that the first month of the season they'd play their way back into shape. Like, there's no off season anymore. These guys train all year round. They come into shape in amazing fitness, if not, you know, better than they left the season before. And so they're ready to go from, you know, day one. And that's the expectation now. And that wasn't the case 20 years ago.
Good point. I mean, I sort of missed part of it. I have watched, not on TV here, I have no idea what they're doing on TV with sports. Probably showing old biathlons or something like that, like that they happen to love here. But, you know, I do have Game 3 of the 87 Canada Cup, you know, on my hard drive. And I've watched that a few times, and just, I can't tell if I just like that hockey better, or I'm just nostalgic for when I was 13, you know?
Yeah.
But watching Gretzky play, or showing Gretzky highlights to my son, and he just thinks it's awesome. It's weird, because I don't know that Gretzky would be the player he was if he played today.
An argument that goes on forever. Nobody knows, but yeah.
Right.
A lot of speculation. But we watched the 2010. I have it saved on, I guess I bought it once upon a time after the Olympics, the 2010 Olympic gold medal final between Canada and the U.S. So we watched that game in its entirety about a week ago, and my kids loved it, because of course they didn't remember it, right? You know, Jack was like literally a baby, and Sarah was 2 years old, and so they remember, or Jack doesn't remember anything, but Sarah remembers, you know, the Olympics mostly through pictures that she was there and she was in, and she got to go to a women's hockey game, and I think something else, I can't remember, curling, I think we took her to. But that game, I mean, even though it's, you know, it's not, we don't have a high definition version of it, and we were watching it, and they're like, why is it so, the quality so crappy, even though that's only 10 years ago. But it's a tremendous hockey game. So I highly recommend it. It's just for anyone who even has the smallest interest in hockey, that is probably one of the best hockey games ever played.
Great ending too.
Great. Well, if you like Canada,
if you like winning,
yeah,
in Canada, you know, in Vancouver,
yeah,
that was nice.
A lot of good there. Yeah. So hey, look at this episode. We're just waxing nostalgic about good old days. Good old days.
Good old days.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I see. Sports wise, I don't. I know I've heard a lot of people say that they miss their sports. And because I'm living over here, and you know, I haven't had a MLB subscription in, I guess, a year bit now, I don't really miss it. I mean, because, you know, it's not part of my life. I miss playing it, because we're not playing. It's, you know, it's been postponed. It was postponed until the first week of May, and now that's been extended indefinitely. And so I'll be surprised if we take the field this year, which is a little bit upsetting, but understandable. And you know, the kids on the team are pretty rattled. And I said, well, you have to understand that, like, Germany's whole, they're all geared towards getting soccer back because that's the moneymaker. Baseball is not exactly a revenue generator for the general economy.
Right.
Whereas Bayern Munich, they, you know, they employ a lot of people. If we go a whole year without selling a few hamburgers, I think we'll be okay.
Right.
But if Bayern Munich, as you call it over there, if they don't operate, that's a problem. And there's going to be a lot of fallout from that. So I guess that's where they're putting their focus on. But, you know, the crybabies on our team are all like, oh, yeah, it's always about soccer. Yeah, kind of is in this case. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, what's going to happen with the NHL? Are they really going to play it, like, in four cities? That's what I've heard.
I doubt it. I think the NHL season's over.
They're not going to finish?
Nope.
I bet you the NBA finishes.
NBA starts later, though, and much more revenue at stake and much more of a worldwide audience, so more pressure for them. So I could figure a way that they might. I don't see it for the NHL. Not this season, anyways. I haven't
heard of any NHL players contracting the COVID, though, and a number of NBA players did.
Yeah, it's not about any of that, though.
No, I understand, but I mean, yeah. So, I mean, I'd heard some various, you know, ideas of, hey, yeah, we're going to play it in Vegas, and just in a, like, all the players, all the NBA players will all basically stay in the same hotel, and we'll just play it. Like at the MGM Grand or whatever. I'm not sure where it was that they decided we'll just play all the games downstairs and that's how it's going to go.
Right.
Which would be kind of weird.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, we'll see. Show related stuff.
Sure.
I wanted to talk a little bit about to our listeners and say, hey, we'd kind of like your help. Adam and I, we would like to expand the show as we always do. Maybe even make some money. How about that?
Sure.
We've never asked for money. We're not going to start now, especially now. But there is a way you can help us. I realized the other day, I haven't paid attention to it, but the other day I went on iTunes to check and see if there's any recent reviews. Not really. Not within the last year.
So, okay.
Here's how you can help us. We would like to get the word out there. Please go on iTunes, take a couple minutes, and leave us a review. Now,
preferably a good one. Yeah.
That's I made a note. We're not asking you for a good review.
Oh, although I am.
Oh no. It would be nice. It would
say
be
nice things about me. Yeah. Say nice things about me.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I don't care. I no. That would be great. Obviously. The nice reviews are better, but if they're bad, they're bad. Write that down. That's how it is. We're not asking for good ones. We're just asking for reviews. Go ahead and leave it. Make sure it's 5 stars and we look awesome and it's funny. That's all I'm saying.
Right. Gotcha.
But now it should be funny if you like. But go on there and do that. It helps us in many ways in terms of. There was sort of like in terms of sponsorship, we haven't really sought that. I kind of felt like I wanted to get my sort of 10,000 hours in before I went and did that. Probably past that now. So not an actual show, but in work done on the show. But also it helps us attract other guests too. If we have a number of, you know, a certain exposure out in the public and people are reviewing us, good, bad, or indifferent. That's really going to help us. So
leave a review. Go. That's the takeaway. If you haven't already, and if you have, make up a new name and leave us another one.
That's a great point. I hadn't thought of that.
Like how many reviews do you think your dad's left?
Probably zero. Because much like this episode, that's his computer is a 486. So there's no way he's getting on it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So there's that. What else do I want to talk about before we get into photo stuff, which is pretty soon? The real victim in this whole quarantine is the Freibad, the outdoor pool, not open.
Oh no!
Supposed to be open for a week now, which means I'd be a week into swimming. which not only for the being in shape part, but also the I'd be building up my tolerance to the sun, which I'm not doing. And I got a little bit of a sunburn the other day outside working.
Yeah, not good.
That's not, I haven't had a sunburn in many, many years, And so, yeah, so there's the real victim.
Okay.
So there's that. Yeah, the weather here has been fantastic, 25 degrees, so it's been great. What else do you want to hear about? Went to the dump yesterday.
Yay.
That's open again.
Okay, that's good. It was closed?
Yeah, they closed the dump down because of this whole thing. It's weird here. The dump is weird here. I was telling my wife, I have fond memories of the dump in Canada because I used to go with my dad like on a Saturday and you know, I don't know, it was like $3 to get in or something. And then once you got in there, it was just a free for all. Like you could throw stuff anywhere. And like, I remember being like 6 or 7 years old, my dad would let me drive the truck because, you know, there's no rules at the dump. You can just go nuts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I just loved driving the truck on the way out. On the way in, it was, you know, laden with stuff we were taking to the dump. But on the way out, you know, no problem. Just drive, go nuts. I think he'd work the pedals for me. I'd try to keep it on the road somewhat. But here it's a little bit different because you gotta separate everything, and I don't know, it's a whole thing, and it sucks. It's no fun going to the dump here. But the one thing I do kind of hashtag love about it is that they have all these rules about what you can bring to the dump and what it costs, and it costs X for this and Y for this much, et cetera, et cetera. And the few times I've gone, like 3 or 4 times. And so I've pulled up, and the guy just kind of looks in the trailer, looks around. You can't see everything because I got so much stuff stacked on top of each other. $20. 4 times in a row, no matter what I have. $20.
Very precise.
And I was like, yeah. I was like, okay, I have 2 dead bodies in there. That's $20. No problem. Like, you're cool with that. $20 for the dead bodies. That's okay. I feel like I should pay 50 for that. But anyway, so I'd rather he just told me, hey, man, if you come here once a year, just hand me a 20. We're good. That's what I want to hear from him.
Right.
Yeah. So maybe he's listening to the show and we'll sort this out.
Okay. Good.
All right. Almost done my shelves. Wow, that turned into a massive project. Almost done the spice rack too, by the way.
Yay.
In the shop. Yeah, I need to buy stain tomorrow and then wood for the face frame of the shelves. And so I'll be done this week. I'll have photos next week, so sit tight, okay?
Okay, can't wait.
Okay, you're up to, and also I still have 10 fingers. So you're up to date.
Okay,
on the wood shop stuff.
Saw
stop. I don't think I bought anything new. Huh? Saw stop?
Saw stop.
What you said?
I said saw stuff.
Oh, if they said saw stop, I would love a saw stop.
You got excited. I could. It was palpable. Your excitement.
Have you seen the saw stop videos?
I've seen them. Yes.
Not even available in Germany. That's the weird part. I would love one. I would love a saw stop.
I'm sorry. I said anything that you misinterpreted.
Reminder: monthly challenge for April is keep it simple. We'll talk about that next week. So make sure you get on that. Hashtag okay. Two Hosers Monthly Challenge, hashtag Hey Hosers, and especially tag us at Two Hosers on the Instagram, and we'll check that out.
Oh, I got my Two Hosers Instagram going again, so I can see stuff.
Okay.
Adam Two Hosers, I'm back. I'm back, people.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That was why I got that notification. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. You can start posting again. Adam's back.
I'm back.
Yeah, he's doing it again.
I go on once every... Well, I've been on once, so...
All right.
Yeah, there we go.
Well, you got to go on to see my woodworking photos. You got to go on there, man.
All right, will do.
All right. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
Didn't use the camera other than to do the photo challenge.
All right. We went out... there's a little kind of creek, I guess, tributary to the Neckar River that runs through Tübingen called the Steinlach. And that so we went there a couple times. And so I brought my camera one day with the 70 to 200. My kids brought their little boat that we made in the shop. We made like a little paddle boat out of, out of scrap wood and a rubber band. And they wanted to put that and take that down the Steinlock. So I took my camera, shot some photos later in the evening when the sun was kind of low and we got some cool looking light coming in. So what do I got there? Four photos to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
Pick one. Talk about it.
The one of your daughter sitting on the rock, I think, is the best photo. The boat's not in it, but that's the best photo.
No, I made her go sit on that. I thought, oh, yeah, the rock looks really good there. And I thought, okay, it's nice. We'll look, I had to take my shoes off and go stand out in the middle of the creek myself, which was fine. And then, you know, we'll get the creek kind of in the background there. And then, you know, some nice dappled light. And there's a little bridge going across, which frames it. I'm not in love with the bridge being there.
Okay.
I'd like it if it wasn't there. Like, just the way it worked, and maybe if there was more bridge, but it just didn't work out visually to have more bridge. But I like the photo of my daughter, though. Mm-hmm. I'm biased. I'll be honest, I'm kind of biased. But the rest of it there, she is throwing the boat in the water, shot her and my son with the boat, and then my son doing some sort of stick-related hiking in the something.
Mm-hmm. Pole vaulting.
It could be. Oh, yeah, he could be one of those, like, where do they do that? That's a thing.
It's for water pole vault?
Yeah, I think it's, I'm assuming it's the Dutch. Let's be honest. Who else could it be, right? Where they jump the canals. They before they had bridges, they would jump the canals. I read that in some nerd book I had.
Big surprise.
Yeah, okay. Well, just do me a favor, Google that for next week, okay?
Okay, nerd book?
Yeah, whatever. No, not nerd book. The Dutch pole vaulting.
Okay.
I think it's where pole vaulting was invented.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's some rollerblading involved too.
Okay. Yeah, I saw that picture.
Yeah, so there I got a shot of my son. It's the first time he'd ever rollerbladed with a hockey stick.
Yeah.
And as you can see, it's not like you can just find hockey sticks to play street hockey with here. So he's got like a Cosm hockey stick that he's had for a long time.
Mm-hmm. It looks very short.
That one isn't so much. He has one that is short. I think he's just holding it funny. But he also likes the stick control. He's very like Gretzky like that.
Mm, yes.
But yeah, so what I need from you is like all Jack's worn out sticks. You just gotta ship them over here.
Okay.
Well, you don't get worn out sticks anymore, do you, with the one piece numbers, do you?
We have tons and tons of hockey sticks, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But I thought with the One Piece, like, they just last a long time, and then that's it, isn't it?
Again, he's young enough that he doesn't break any sticks, so he grows out of them. You can plug them, you can lengthen them for a little while, but eventually they're just too small.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if I'm ever allowed to fly over, I'll grab some from you.
Because
you can't find them here. They're not like they're on every... Like, when I was a kid, and even now, from what you're telling me, is... You know, you walk into any house in Steveson, you're going to find 3 to 10 hockey sticks just kicking around.
Mm-hmm.
Not the case here.
Okay.
All right. Photo challenge this week was inspired by listener David Williams, who bought a fog machine on my recommendation. He claims he loves it. And so our photo challenge became the fog machine.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, David.
All right. It's good because I haven't used mine in a while, and I wish I did.
I don't remember the last time I used mine.
Well, now that I've used it and cleaned up, I'm glad I haven't in a while, and it'll go back in the drawer till Halloween. But no, that's not true. I do like it for various things, but it's one of those things that I think nowadays at the price point that it's at, I think we might have mentioned it last week. He asked, should I get one? Yep. The answer is yes. If you're even thinking about getting a fog machine, the answer is yes, you should. They're a lot of fun. Wow, do they add a lot to your photos. For example, let's look at yours, and you're going with one of your wife.
Mm-hmm.
Versus the one of your daughter.
Yeah.
Okay. Because?
I like it. I like both of them.
Better?
I like them both, but I just happen to like this one. I also like that... the angle of my wife's glasses made for no sort of softbox or umbrella reflection in the mirrored sunglass frame. So I like that. I didn't do any Photoshop on either of them, but that was the main difference. The angle of my daughter's is lower, so you see more bike. I like that angle, but I don't like the reflection, and I was not going to do Photoshop on her sunglasses. So they're both straight out of camera, and my wife's was again a better. It wasn't. You don't have the distraction of that reflection in the sunglasses,
and probably a little bit more smoke.
Yeah, more smoke too. I mean, I took a bunch of photos, and some had more, some had less. I was just picked two photos, kind of for example purposes, to sort of show. Like, I mean, you get a huge range of backgrounds in 5 seconds of taking these smoke photos because the smoke fills up. Now, I was doing mine outside, so the wind the wind plays a factor. Yeah. Oh, my wife said, yeah, go ahead, I'll be in your photo, but we're doing it outside, and so I said, okay, well. We'll give it a go. And so we just went in our little back patio area, and then I set up a black background sheet, and then we set the smoke machine up and my lights and whatnot. And then you never know what you're gonna get when there's a little breeze blowing. So it's fun though, like, because again, the smoke machine, you just push the button, the smoke comes up. You got in the outside case, you got about 7 to 10 seconds. There wasn't a lot of wind, just a little breeze, and then eventually unless you keep the button down on the fog machine, the fog clears out, and then you go again.
Yeah, outside it dissipates very quickly.
So that's nice. It's good and bad, right?
It's good and bad depending on the weather, the temperature too. It you know, like if it's cold, it tends to just kind of lay low as well, and if it's warmer, it will kind of rise up. It's been my experience, anyways. I'm not a scientist, but that's generally what I found out. And it is nice. I mean, did you have someone to run the smoke machine
for you? I was on the camera. I had my daughter on command, doing the voice activated smoke machine. And then I had two lights set up. So you'll be happy to know that I used your trick from last week. I used, sort of one big light. So I used, a big softbox, not your little tiny softbox we talked about last week, but I used a big strobe and a giant softbox to light both the smoke and serve as my backlight. So I knew I could cover everything. I could cover my subject as a rim light, so you can see all the light on her shoulders, her hair, and the smoke is all done by the one studio strobe and the big softbox. And then I just have an umbrella as the key light feathered in front of her. So there you get the shadow on the one side of her face and the drop off. So, you know, all in two lights. And you can see in the photo of my daughter, which is kind of a more full body shot and more full bike, very nice, even light with just a two light setup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, definitely. Oh, it looks great. And what's the inspiration for this shot?
This was, I saw my wife, the bomber jacket. And then I thought, oh, this is a Top Gun feeling, you know, Tom Cruise on the motorcycle, like, you know, that scene from Top Gun where he's kind of riding along the flight path as the jets are taking off. And so I had that, and then I had mixed in a little bit of Terminator 2 poster with that. Right. So I was like a little bit of a cross, like, no, my wife's not into guns. So I had, at one point I thought I might get her to pose like the T2 poster with one of Jack's like Nerf guns up in her arm, but she wasn't super into that. So I think we meshed the two together. I think you can feel a little Top Gun and T2 in this photo.
And a little E.T. with the
Sure, E.T.
A lot of smoke used in the beginning, the opening scene of E.T. actually.
There you go. Yeah, you're right about that.
A lot of smoke machines there, which I hadn't even thought of until it just came flying out of my mouth. No, it looks really cool. Love the idea. Like, I love the outside part too. Was this at night or daytime?
This is just daytime, yeah.
Okay, but you're able to kill the ambient
instead
of enough softbox.
Yeah, well, that's the beauty of that giant softbox, is you can easily overpower whatever you want. So yeah, this was very easy to do. Now it was, again, a little bit shaded. We have a giant tree in our backyard, so shade plus it wasn't a super sunny day, so it was very easy to kill the ambient in this situation.
Nice. And that's your Einstein that you're using.
Alien B.
Alien B, isn't it called an Alien B Einstein?
That's a different line of strobes. This is just a B800, Alien B B800.
Oh, okay. It's made by the same guy, though.
Paul Buff makes Einsteins. I think that's a higher end line than the Alien B is a great budget product.
Either way, it's a studio strobe, which is a plug-in, which gives you a lot more juice, which allows you to kill, like really power through and kill that ambient. Mm-hmm. So in order to kill the ambience, this was shot with your 6D.
Yeah.
Now if it were the X100, you could kill the ambient with a 1/2000th of a second shutter speed. But here you need to kill it with probably. Just looking at this, I'm going to guess it was probably an f/8.
Yeah, something like that. I don't remember.
Seven point one. So 7 2/3. So it's just under 8. Which is nice, I guess, a cloudy day with a shutter speed of, again, I didn't look, 1/160th is probably
1/180th. Something like that.
Whatever that's going to be. 1/160th. So there you go. So that's the max sync, probably ISO 400. That's a, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean,
you could have.
To be honest, I don't remember why. I could have been 200. Doesn't matter. Yeah.
You know what? Like 400 is fine. If it gives you. If it gives you, it still spits out a aperture of 8. I mean, you could have shot this at an f/4 and an ISO 100, but why?
Well, I did. Yeah, I wanted to make sure there was no issues with front to back focus. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So no, at that point, you know, 400 is a good call. I mean, on a sunny day, you would have had to go ISO 100 to help kill it, but in the end, the studio strobe helps power through that. All right, so let's have a look at mine. Blam.
That is Freddie Mercury.
That is the inspiration. He is a humongous Freddie Mercury fan. Well, Queen. He loves the Radio Gaga's his favorite song.
Okay.
And so on Monday or Tuesday, after their schoolwork was done, him and his sister were running around with her tickle trunk and. Which sounds terrible, but out of context. But if you know Mr. Dress Up, basically it's the trunk with all the
Dress Up costumes.
Yeah, the costume clothes. And so she had been given these pants a couple of years ago for costume pants, and he decided he was going to wear his sister's shiny purple or whatever, pink pants or whatever they are. And he just loved. He thought it was the funniest thing. And it was right then I knew. Okay, I have my smoke machine photo. This has got to be you. What you do? So I went and found a white tank top that also belonged to his sister because he doesn't have one. And it's got a nice little bow in the front, so we put it on inside out and backwards so you can't tell. And I got the mic I'm using right now and said, all right, buddy, I need you to go downstairs and sing Radio Gaga. And he did. He was into it. Well, we flirted with painting a mustache on his face, but in the end I thought that was just too goofy. So... There you go.
It looks good. Looks very concert-esque with, you've gelled some lights, it looks like.
Yep. We gelled some lights. It, kind of a similar lighting scheme to the, Carly Rae Jepsen concert. I took my daughter to what seems like 9 years ago now, but a couple months ago, a lot of oranges, a lot of blues. And so camera right, there's four lights on this. We got four hard lights lighting this up. So back camera right is a full CTB. Back camera left is a full CTO. Both of them hard and low, pointing upwards. And then in front camera right is just a bare flash on an 85 zoom. And camera left is a 85 zoom with a half CTO. That's pretty sure I got that right.
Okay, and then you just let the room fill up with some smoke because it kind of just ends up looking like fog.
Well, that wasn't really the plan. So like yourself, I had my daughter be the voice-activated smoke machine runner. And she really likes the fog machine. She thinks it's awesome. She can't wait to run it. And she's really good at listening to when I say, hey, start it now. She's on it. And when I say, okay, that's enough, she's not as fast to start.
So that just sounds like our experience. Hey, you know what? She's ready for a life as a roadie.
Yeah. Red Dog. Rusty, the wheel. So anyways, and so she kept hammering it, but then it ended up I wasn't obscuring the background enough because I had the four lights in there and I kind of wanted to give it the concert look. If it was just that kind of wispy smoke that you could see, like in your photo, which looks cool, it just wasn't obscuring the room. Like, this is just my basement. And I kind of wanted the space, and I didn't want to hang a background up or anything like that. I just wanted to use the smoke to just cover everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what it did. So once we kind of fired it, you know, it filled the room. We did this inside, like I said, in the basement where there's not a ton of ventilation. There's a couple of windows, but not a lot of crosswind to really clear it out in a hurry. Like, it takes a while to dissipate in that room. So once we're hammering in there, like, you're pretty much committed. And so that was it. But I ended up liking it because it kind of gives that, you know, that big feel. Like, even though you're in a small basement, you can't really tell.
Right.
So anyways, we did play the music in the background while he was.
Oh, yeah. That's the way you get full immersion.
You have to. He's method like that.
Yeah.
So anyways, next week we're doing Bowie.
Great.
Yeah, he's more of a Queen fan than Bowie, but we'll see. And then maybe Elton John. I don't know. We'll see where it takes us. All right. So topic, real quick this week. Topic is my photo, because I have to admit something.
Okay.
I cheated a little bit on this.
Okay.
A little bit only. Like, but I want to know, is it cheating? Is Photoshop cheating? That's the question for this week.
No.
Okay. Because content-aware Phil sure seems like it's cheating. That is, oh my God, is that an amazing thing. Now, here's how I cheated. I shot this, was ready to go pretty much in camera. The smoke obscured everything. But he was just standing the way the framing was. There was a little bit of dead space I didn't like. And I ended up rotating this picture like 20 degrees to the right, which means I was left with white corners on the bottom two corners and the top left, just because that was at the edge of the frame, right?
Okay.
See where I'm heading with that?
Mm-hmm.
Take it and rotate it. So now, what do? The picture looks good. I wanted him tilted like this. I kind of wanted him off to the side with his arms straight in the air. Sort of give that sort of Dutch angle. Hey, there's the Dutch twice in one episode. I wanted that kind of Dutch angle to make it look better and to kind of fill in the upper right corner, but that left those blank spaces. So I really quickly grabbed the content-aware fill and hammered the top left and the bottom two corners and just let it do its magic, and kablamo. I don't think you noticed.
No, I didn't.
No reason you should. It is amazing. So, is it cheating?
No.
Okay.
I use this trick a lot.
This FYI, this is how they faked the moon landings in that photo of Oswald in the backyard with a gun. So, they had content-aware fill, but it was more of a hands-on kind of thing, razor blades and whatnot. But you understand the idea,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we get it.
Yeah, that was cheating. But, okay, so if it's not cheating, what is your favorite, most used, quote-unquote, cheat, or not cheat in this case? How often do you use content-aware fill?
In situations like this where there's either something in the background that I want to remove, or like you said, there's something that you just want to fill in because I'm always dealing with taking photos in small spaces. So you've got the option of either cropping it to get rid of whatever your white space that you want to fill in, or your other option is, if you want that aspect ratio or you want the photo larger, is to fill it in. So I don't think it's cheating at all. I think everybody uses this in their photos, or everybody who knows of this tool uses this in their photos, and that's just the new reality that we're living in.
How did you find out about it? Because I went a long time, because I'm admittedly to a to a snobby degree, I'm kind of a purist, and I like to do things by hand, which like the stamp tool or whatever it is, and cloning, and what I like to have control. And so when they announced this a couple years ago now, or whenever it came out, I was like, yeah, come on, Adobe, I got this.
I think I came across it in one of the, like, the, I get emails because I have the subscription for Lightroom, and so Adobe sends me emails, and sometimes I go on them and sometimes I don't, but they have little tutorials, and one of the tutorials that caught my eye was just about how to, you know, in whatever it was, 3 seconds, whatever's marketed, get rid of that person in the background that you don't want, or that whatever that thing is in the back of that mailbox.
Usually
or
your wife. Can.
Yeah, usually her, but whatever it was. And I thought, okay, I'm going to watch this video because this is often something that I would do by, like you said, cloning or a process that takes much longer. And I watched the video and I was like, yeah, that's awesome. And then they started, you know, showing videos of how you could apply this in other ways. And once I saw how quick and easy it was, this became a go-to tool. I don't always do it. Sometimes if it's a small area, I sometimes just clone it for reasons you said, that it gives you a different control. And sometimes you click on the content aware and it's not exactly how you want it. So then you end up adding a little clone. But for the most part, this is so quick and easy and does such a great job that it just saves time. It's a great time saver.
It is my new favorite thing. And I haven't used it that often, but few times before this, but after this, I'm in. You know, because you can basically select the area that you, if you haven't used it, I highly recommend checking it out. It could be a little daunting at first, but not really. Basically, select the area you want to remove, click on the content aware fill, and then it shows you an overlay of where it's choosing from. And so, like for my son, when I was doing the bottom left, it was choosing from his pants and his shirt. But you can go in there and quickly paint that out and say, look, don't pick from here, pick from everywhere else. And it does. And it takes a second. I have an older computer, but it takes a couple seconds to kind of update. And then boom, it's got a new example of a fill that looks way better. And you click OK and it shows up as a separate layer, which you can then merge or adjust or whatever you want to do. You have complete control at that point, but it does an amazing job. I don't want to do an ad for Adobe necessarily. I'm assuming this exists in other programs as well, which I don't happen to use, so I don't know. I love this thing, and I'm a snob.
Sure.
So there you go. So I'm going to end up using this a lot more often. I try to shoot your photo where you don't have anything in the background, and nowadays, you can shoot a lot without having people in the background, obviously, but, you know, when we get back to normal and there's a lot of people out, I'm guessing once we get back to normal, there'll be a lot of people out, so it'll be hard to get clean backgrounds. This will come in very, very handy if that's what you want.
Good.
All right, so go ahead and cheat with the CAF. That's what it's called, right? It's got to be called the CAF.
I never heard that, but sure.
You heard it right here.
Okay.
All right. Next week's challenge is our monthly challenge, and that's Keep It Simple. Hashtag Two Hosers Monthly Challenge. Hashtag Hey Hosers. Even better, we'll do all three. Do those two and tag us at Two Hosers on the Instagram. Adam's back there. He'll see them live now. I don't think
I'm going to be on there. I'm going to be on there all day, every day.
I may not even have to do the screen capture and send them to him this week.
That would
I'm going
be.
To, because let's be honest. But make sure you do that. We'll talk about those next week. Adam, websites, where can people go to find your stuff?
They can find it on adamschwartz.ca.
Mine, you can find it at alanatridge.com. You know, if you want to see some photos from like 6 years ago, they're there. Last time I updated my site, really. Oh, the last time I updated my site was to go and take all the Viagra ads off. So I'm hoping those are still gone. Let me know. Let me know if there's some big pills being advertised. I'll take that off again. That's not me. For the two of us, you can go to twohosers.com where you can find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.